Then the woman turned, and I clapped both hands over my mouth to keep from crying out. Above the nose, her face was normal. Below, her mouth became a distorted, impossible monstrosity, her lower jaw hanging all the way to her knees, the too long expanse of her gums lined with several rows of tiny needle-like teeth, moving teeth, each row marching along her jaw like a restless trail of ants. I could hear them whirring faintly. She drooled. And when she saw my reaction, she smiled. That was the most hideous sight I had ever seen. Then she shimmered and became an ordinary-looking woman, nondescriptly almond, with a nondescriptly human mouth. She was still smiling, though, and there was still something disturbingly hungry in her expression. "My gods," Madding murmured. Godling said this sort of thing all the time. "It is you." His words confused me because of their direction. He was not speaking to the blonde woman. Then I jumped at the response, because it came from another unexpected direction, above.
"Oh, yes," said this new soft voice. "It's him."
Madding suddenly went still in a way that I knew meant trouble. His two lieutenants suddenly flickered into view, equally tense.
"I see," Madding said, speaking low and carefully. "It's been a while, Sia. Have you come to gloat?"
"A little."
The voice was that of a young, prepubescent boy. I looked up, trying to gauge where he was. A rooftop, maybe, or a window on the second or third floor. I could not see him. A mortal? Or another godling who was feeling shy? There was a sudden feel of movement before me, and abruptly, the boy spoke from the ground only a few feet away. Godling, then.
"You look worn out, old man," the boy said, and belatedly I realized he too was addressing someone other than me, Madding, or the blonde woman.
Finally, I noticed that off to the side of the alley, near the wall, there was someone low to the ground. Sitting or kneeling, maybe, panting for some reason. Something about those weary breaths was familiar.
"Mortal flesh is bound by physical laws," the boy continued, speaking to the panting person. "If you don't use sigils to channel the power, you get more, it's true. But then the magic drains your strength. Use enough, and it can even kill you. For a while, anyhow. Just one of a thousand new things you'll have to learn, I'm afraid. Sorry, old man."
The blonde woman uttered a laugh like pebbles grinding underfoot.
"You're not sorry."
She was right. The voice of the boy, Sia, Madding had called him, was utterly devoid of compassion. He sounded pleased, in fact, in the way that most people would be pleased to see an enemy brought low. I cocked my head, listening close, and trying to understand. Sia chuckled.
"Of course I'm sorry, Lil. Do I look like the kind of person who will hold a grudge? That would be petty of me."
"Petty," agreed the blonde woman, "and childish and cruel. Does his suffering please you?"
"Oh, yes, Lil. It pleases me very much."
Not even the pretense of friendliness this time. There was nothing in that boyish voice but sadistic relish. I shivered, even more afraid for Shiny. I had never seen a godling child before, but I had an inkling they were not all that different from human children. Human children could be merciless, especially when they had power.